There's no better way to start your day. It's how I start my day, and how I start listening to podcasts is with coffee. And Press House Coffee has been making it rather enjoyable for me, if I do say so myself, because they make the absolute best coffee. And they also give me a variety. Me and Chris, we have different coffee tastes. I like a dark roast. Chrissy, what is your favorite?
I like a lighter roast, but I love the pineapple sweet spice paradise.
Ooh, baby, the founders at Press House Coffee believe that drinking coffee should be fun and wonderful. Free of judgment and hard and fast rules. That's right. It's coffee, people. Trust us, you're going to love Press House Coffee as much as we do. And for a limited time, you get 20% off by going to our special URL, PressHouseCoffee.com/VIALL, and use promo code VIALL. Order today at PressHouseCoffee.com/VIALL and use promo code VIALL for 20% off. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a very special edition of the Vile Files. I am your host, Nick, joined by my producer, Chrissy. Chrissy, how are you doing this morning? Bright and early.
I have to say, I was excited this morning. I woke up, by the way, side note, I woke up to a bunch of people from our audience is everywhere, and I've gotten so many messages from people in Montana trying to welcome me, suggest coffee, like being amazing. Like, hey, if you need anything.
Thank
and
you,
I just
Montana.
Thought it was the cutest thing that I woke up to like three messages to people from Montana this morning. So thank you, everybody who's trying to make me feel at home.
Well, that is great to hear. We have an amazing guest, Ben. Everyone was disappointed we didn't get to have an AFR to not only see Tayshia and Zach and an update on their love story, but also checking in on Ben, the runner up, and is a member of the runner up club and possibly even president of the runner up club. I always love the opportunity to have the possibility to talk to the runner up Ben, who, you know, broke his own record of being dumped twice in the same show. But we check in with Ben and we just a fantastic conversation. What a great guy. And I guess we'll let you just listen to it before we spoil anything. Make sure to check out our episode with Cassie David, who helps me recap the final two episodes of The Bachelorette, as well as make sure to check out our Ask Nick episodes that drop every Monday. If you love hearing people's dating stories, their vulnerability, and hear some advice on those calls, it's a very popular show that we have. If you are tuning in just to listen to Ben, make sure to check out our other shows. Subscribe, rate us 5 stars. We can't thank you enough for giving us an opportunity and giving us a listen. We have our boy Brandon next week. Did I say it right?
Brandon,
right?
Yes.
Anyway, he joins us next week. So be sure to tune in to that. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. I hope you're all doing great things. So without further ado, Ben, thanks so much for joining.
Thank you for having me, Nick. I appreciate it.
I just want to first to start off, check in. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing better than I thought I would.
Okay.
Watching, you know, the finale aired last night, watching it with my friends and family. It's a different experience than living it. You know, we're removed by a little bit of time from the actual experience. And so I get to see it from an objective perspective you know, it's tough to see yourself go through something like that. I don't get outwardly emotional. Like that's a theme.
We've heard, Ben.
That's a theme on the show. platonic relationships, I'm cool. I like can be vulnerable and open and like share everything about myself. But when it turns romantic, I clam up and I get weird and I get closed off and it's hard for me to talk about scary things. And I saw myself go through that again last night. But you know, I'm happy. I'm so happy for the way that it ended up. I'm so happy for Tayshia. I'm so happy for Zach. Zach and I were close throughout the entire experience and, you know, not knowing how it ended, I had no idea what happened after I left.
Oh, you
and
really? So, okay. Yeah. No, sometimes, sometimes people hear,
So I chose not to read any of the spoilers. I really have done a lot of work to not engage in any of the comments. I don't read the DMs. I don't any of that stuff.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's just, it's so overwhelming. I can't deal with it. But I'm so incredibly happy for them. You can see that they're happy together. The fact that they're still together is, that's incredible in and of itself. And so I have this like peace, like right now you asked, your question was how am I doing, but I have this like peace around the whole experience. I'm like, holy cow, I came out of that with so much growth and so much experience. And I'm like a newer, better, more complete version of myself. And so I'm incredibly thankful and happy. And I have just this like, this peace about the whole experience. So
well, that's great to hear. We're all very happy that that's how you feel. And it's always nice to try to use this experience like in a therapeutic way, kind of like you kind of described.
Totally.
I got to say, for someone who's gone on the show myself, who's done some things and broken some bad records, like, you know, being a runner up twice, you came close. You got dumped twice in the same season.
Yeah.
You know, she sent you home. You're like, no, I haven't had quite enough yet. I want more pain and agony. But you're going back to that time. I mean, when Tayshia sent you home the first time, I know you mentioned on the show how blindsided you were. I mean, you know, and like, you know, sometimes we just don't get to see everything in context.
Totally.
The limited amount of time, but were you really totally shocked? I mean, what was that like? Did you feel like she was waiting for an I love you, or did you even have any idea why you got sent home when you did?
So, you know, we had the hometown date. It went really well. I was incredibly fortunate that I got to have, you know, the art date, which was a little bit more vulnerable for me. I got to express myself a bit. And then I got my one, like immediately following. And that's like another opportunity to spend more time with her and be more vulnerable and open. And then I go right into my hometown. So I get these like three opportunities back to back to back where I feel like I'm really growing my connection with Tayshia. And I thought my hometown date went incredible. We had so much fun. You know, you only see a portion of it on the TV, but we spent the entire day together. It was incredibly playful. And I'm not always just the sad, emotional or emotionless Ben that you see on TV. I do have this playful, fun side. And she and I got to have that experience together. And then meeting my family, it was my sister and one of my best friends, Antonia. And we just, everything just seemed so right. And so leaving that date, I felt compelled to tell her how I felt. I felt that I needed to tell her that I was in love with her, because that's where I had this realization that, oh my God, like these feelings I have really are feelings of love, not just platonic love, but something romantic, something more. And I just didn't think it was right to do it at the end of the day. Like, oh, by the way, we had this great day. I love you. Okay, I'll see you later. Mm-hmm. It's like a weird rushed thing. And then we go into the rose ceremony and Chris asked me specifically, you know, how are you feeling about Tayshia? I'm like, oh, well, like I just had this realization about 12 hours ago that like, I'm in love with her. I haven't had the right opportunity. And this is like classic Ben. I like try and make everything perfect, or I try and set something up to be absolutely perfect. And so I walk into that rose ceremony completely 100% expecting to be there the next week. And like, maybe this is like a failure on my part or lacking some sort of emotional intelligence or awareness, but like, I had no idea that I was going home when I got sent home.
You're not lacking anything. I mean, the show is nothing. What it is. I mean,
dude,
listen, it's a show. We get it, right? It's a little nuts. It, like, Zach didn't say he loved Tayshia until Fantasy Suite Dates. I didn't know why. Was it whether it was Tayshia who decided or what? And I'm assuming, Tayshia, that why you had to open up first is it doesn't make any sense. And in the history of the show, you know, granted, there's the Bennetts of the world and the people who aren't top four who might throw out a kind of SOS, I love you. So it's like, don't send me home. But, you know, when it comes to Final Four, usually it's right around hometowns or maybe the week before hometowns. But it's right around that period where affirmations of love start happening. So you weren't in any way like lagging. It wasn't as if like everyone else was like just screaming and holding up signs saying I love you. And Ben just like, I don't know how to feel. You know, like that wasn't what was going on.
Well, I'm not privy. I mean, as you know this, I'm not privy to like their interactions.
Yeah.
And similar to like how I've approached the social media thing following the show, I had blinders on. Like there's a common refrain of me during the show where I'm like, yo, I don't give a fuck about what you're doing. Like, this is only me and Tayshia. You guys do whatever you feel is right. I'm going to have this relationship because at the end of the day, only one of us gets to have a life with her. And so like, I'm not smart enough to handle this experience and also deal with yours. So like,
You humble yourself, but I just want you to know that there's nothing wrong with you in that regard. Okay. You're not lacking any emotional intelligence or anything. I hope you get that out of your head because that's not the case. It's exciting to
answer. Answer your question, I had no idea that she wanted me to tell her that I love her in that moment. I couldn't see it.
And when she sent you home, what did she say to you? I don't know if we got the whole gist, because it kind of seemed like you guys didn't have like the big conversation one would have, like when you get sent home at that point, right?
Yeah.
So was it like, hey, you didn't open up, or what was going on that kind of made you process everything that she said that ultimately led to you coming back?
She said something to me that I didn't understand in the moment, they showed it on TV, but she says, I don't think we're on the same page. Are you even ready to get married? And like, outside of that, there wasn't much conversation there. It was a lot of me sitting there trying to figure out how to breathe and her like staring at me. But she said, I'm not sure we're on the same page. And up until that point, I thought we were both completely on the same page, or on the same letter and the same word on the same page. Yeah, and
totally dumbfounded.
Dude, I like joked about this before. I was like, I've never been more caught off guard ever in my life. But it was a pretty cool experience because it like showed some blind spots for me. It like showed me that like maybe the thing that I'm seeing or what I'm perceiving about this thing might be incorrect. Or maybe not. I'm not sure.
What do you
sure.
mean by blind spots? Do you mean like what I learned when I was on that show, right? Is like, you know that you don't know what's going on, but you really are smacked in the face of never assume in life. I mean, that going on that show, if you go far enough, it reinforces, and it's not the first time we've learned that in life to not assume. But it really enforces to never take things for granted and don't get too confident. Are you saying that, or are you saying like it made me realize, you know, something else?
I'm saying that in one hand, but in the other, it's like I have my experience and what I think is reality. You have yours, and then there is actual reality.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's not a play on words. I don't mean like because of reality TV, but like in our experience here, we're all living a different thing, and there's one like actual reality, and so. Maybe it's a function of the show itself. Maybe it's a function of like 30 dudes dating one woman. But you create this story in your head where you're like, oh my God, the experience that she and I are having is either so much better or so much worse than everyone else's. And I was in the camp of being like, there's no fucking way that any other dude is having the same experience that I am having. And you know, little do I know, she's got a better connection with somebody else, which is, like I said, incredible. And I'm so happy for them. But watching it back now, I see, oh my God, Ben, dude, like your relationship was one thing and it was playful and fun. And like, I can see that connection that we had, but like, it's pretty evident that there was a deeper bond and a deeper connection, you know, ultimately with Zach. You can see their chemistry. You can see the way that they play off of each other. And it's cool to see from like an objective perspective or like a fan of the show now, because I'm like a fan of the show. I'd never seen the show before. This is the first time I ever watched, which is pretty neat. Like, this is insane. When I came back, I had no idea that I was going to meet her family the next day. I didn't even know that, to be honest, the whole time in my head, I think I might have even said it in an ITM, like, that she met my family, but like, when do I get to like do that too?
Is that a thing?
That's funny. So I show up and I go back to the rose ceremony, and she says, you know, tomorrow you get to meet my family, and I don't think you have to see it. My face is just like, oh, I have to meet her family. And that was like the next day.
Nothing makes you feel okay like drinking a delicious cup of coffee, even if you are the runner up in a dating situation. And Press House Coffee has certainly brightened my day by drinking their delicious dark roast. Chrissy, how does Press House Coffee brighten your day? I can't even say Press House Coffee.
Press House Coffee. Look, we got amazing French press from them. So every morning I wake up and I take their daily grind, which is like portioned out for me. It's perfect just for one person. And I make my coffee and I sip it while I sit outside and watch the mountains.
I tell you what, their key lime pie is a wonderful blend that blew my mind. I really quite enjoy
the pineapple one's really good too. I really didn't think I'd like pineapple coffee. But yeah. It's really good.
They make drinking coffee even more fun than it already was. Every bag is roasted to order, grounded in any way you like, and shipped with you within 72 hours for peak freshness. Amazing. And you taste that freshness, let me tell you. Press House Coffee has got your back, and if you can't decide where to start your coffee journey, you can just take a fun little quiz and get a plethora of options. And then you end up with like an amazing key lime pie. Trust us, you're going to love Press House Coffee as much as we do. And for a limited time, you get 20% off by going to our special URL. That is PressHouseCoffee.com/VIALL and use promo code VIALL. When you're the runner-up on love, don't be the runner-up on your body. I don't know if that made sense, but I'm just saying each and every has the best natural deodorant you can find. I stand by it. I put it on my body every day, and it makes me feel much better because I'll tell you what, I've been using crap antiperspirants and crap deodorant I've been allergic to, and now I'm not. Now I smell good, and my armpits don't itch, and I don't break out, and even when I don't break out, I don't have to worry about the shit I was putting on my body before, like aluminum and other just crap that just your body absorbs and goes into your blood. I feel like parabens and synthetic fragrances or even baking soda. Ugh, yuck. It just has 6 simple ingredients like Dead Sea salt and coconut oil, plus essential oils and extracts that smell amazing. Each and every is vegan and cruelty-free, and all ingredients are sustainably sourced, so you can smell good and feel good about using it as well. It's good for you, good for me, and good for the planet. I love each and every deodorant, and I know you will too. And right now, our listeners get 30% off their first purchase. Go now to eachandevery.com/VIALL today and use promo code VIALL. Again, that's promo code VIALL at eachandevery.com/VIALL for 30% off. So, yeah, I'm glad you were able to see and watch it back. But like you said, you know, you it sounds like you went about the right way, like really focused on your connection. Obviously, as you watch the show back, a lot of guys don't do that, right? And it's usually like the final 2 guys or final 3 or, you know, for, and in this season it was more like the final 4. I feel like you, Ivan, Brandon, Zach, and yourself really focused on Tayshia and you get that with the final 4, but I'm glad you were able to see Zach's connection because like you said, it really makes you go, okay, well that makes sense. And I'm not struggling with the whys and the hows and things like that. That was kind of when you came back and then she pulled Ivan, and you know, Zach's a talker, right? And so Zach's just like the whole time you're just like, you had that kind of glazed look like, oh fuck, like I came back, what's going on? Like, is she going to keep me? I don't know what's going on. And you're thinking Zach's talking and it's just like, so yeah, she could keep me, she cannot. I mean, I don't know. I like ham sandwiches, and like I like my steak medium rare. And I was just like, "Hey, did you know that there's a full moon out today?" And like Zach's just like he's a nervous talker. I'm more like Zach in that regard. Yeah, but it was pretty funny that you could tell that you were just like, "What the fuck is going on?" It was pretty.
Yeah,
it
was just trying to be like a support for him, or you know, he was incredibly eager to find out what was happening next. I think there was like an assumption that he was going next to speak with her. And then like maybe me, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird to walk back into that situation because like I have my intention's not to like kick Ivan out. It's like I'm trying to further my relationship with her, and that's just like a function of how the thing goes.
You gotta do what you gotta do. How many days, like how long were you thinking about, like, so you got sent home, obviously, you know, quarantine, you're still on the compound, right? We all know this. Were you just like, I got to tell her? Obviously, you kind of assumed that why you got sent home, and yet we got to see you say, I love her, you're in the car. So, like, what was the ultimate decision that made you say, I want to go back, and regardless of what she says or whether she receives it, I want to say I love you.
Yeah. As soon as I got back to my room or like away from the experience, it's like, holy fuck, I should have said something. Like, I don't have many regrets, or I don't do that often. I don't think, well, I should have done that differently. But I was like, I need to talk to her. I need to talk to somebody. And I reached out to Chris Harrison, and I was like, yo, can I talk to you? And he's like, yeah, I guess that we could set that up. That'll be cool. And so I go and talk to him, and I'm like, if anybody can get me in front of Tayshia, or at least like pass a message along, it's him.
Certainly Daddy Harrison. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I have a conversation with Chris, and I mean, you see a majority of it in the show, but I have a conversation with Chris. I'm like, look, this isn't done for me yet. I've been showing up for her this entire time, but like now I need to show up for myself. And like, I feel like I left things on the table, and I'm not trying to come back because that's insane. But I am trying to at least express myself and at least share with her how I feel about her, just maybe for some closure or for.
I mean, did you really have no hope that she would take you back, or were you just had like a realistic understanding that there's a good chance she wouldn't?
Yeah, I mean, of course I was hopeful.
Sure.
But two, like, we've all gotten back with an ex, and like, this is an extreme situation, but like, we've all gotten back with an ex, and it's always weird. It's always different. It's never the same relationship. There's always some sort of resentment. There's always some sort of like thing that's unsaid, an elephant in the room, like all the time, at least from my experience. And so I was concerned that that would be the case. You know, and she says it when she lets me go, she's like, you know, my relationship with Zach has just progressed farther because of the experience they had during the fantasy suites. And I totally understand that.
Sure.
And so I had reservations about that coming back in, but you better believe that I wanted at least the chance to express myself, and I wanted the chance to continue this journey, and I wanted the chance to ultimately end up with her. For the first time in my life, I found a woman that I could see being the mother of my children. That's like not a thing. I don't get to that place. I don't think about that thing very often. And she checked all my boxes, which is unreal.
Well, I'm glad to hear all this.
Yeah.
And even the way you just talked about Tayshia, you know, to be able to say how you felt about her, own those feelings, and like you said, still demonstrate a lot of happiness for her and Zach. I mean, it just makes me think that you're in a really good place, and I'm just, I guess, happy to hear that, and I'm sure the people listening are too, because it sounds all very honest and heartfelt, and quite frankly, a very healthy, right? You know, just a kind of very healthy, you know, big picture outlook on the experience, and that's really nice to hear.
Thank you. It hasn't always been that way, so it's like, it's a really cool thing for me to like at least have this perspective. And like you mentioned therapy at the very beginning, but I used this experience. I haven't dated in a long time. It's like been over a year since I've been on a date. I haven't been in a relationship in a long time. Focusing on myself, focusing on my career. And I, you know, I'd been in therapy for several years, different levels of intensity. And I just never felt like I was able to apply those things in my actual life. I never felt like I got past this like weird threshold that I created in my head where it's like, okay, now I'm ready to get it back out there and date. I'm ready to like try this thing again. And so, the bachelorette experience for me was an opportunity to be vulnerable and be open and like try things that scare me to the point that I don't try them in my regular life. I could do it without external stressors. I could do it without any sort of competing demands. I could focus completely on myself, on this woman. And that goes back to like the blinders thing. And I like, I don't half-ass anything. And I full-assed this thing. And I came in trying to meet a girl, trying to learn something about myself and like maybe restore my faith in humanity. And that like, and I got all those things, which is nuts to me. If you would have told me this a year ago, dude, you're going to go on this reality TV show and you're going to like fall in love with a girl. You're going to come out of it the most complete person that you've ever been. And then you're going to get to like help other people with sharing your story, which I like didn't even intend to share. Like, dude, I'm so incredibly thankful for this experience, for the example that you set, for you like reaching out to me, just like throughout this whole thing, for just everybody in Bachelor Nation. It's been absolutely incredible.
I am a clothes and jeans snob. I'm just going to say it. I am, because I like things that fits my body and make me feel good, and I like to be comfortable while looking great, and I like things that last. That's a lot to ask for like a pair of pants or a sweater. Well, Everlane is making clothes that not only shape just right to your body, but also made with the highest quality at a price affordable to you. And not only that, I don't like using the word radical too much, but they are radical with how they source their products, and they have very transparent pricing. Sustainability is literally woven into every piece of fabric Everlane uses. From their natural fibers to recycled synthetics, simple, timeless pieces, comfortable, durable, flattering to all body types. Whether it's skinny to relaxed to slim to athletic, Everlane has it all for you. The sweaters and the pants that I have from Everlane are quite comfortable, and I just like wearing them because even when I go to the grocery store, even during a pandemic, I don't like to look like a slob, but I also like to be comfortable. It's like, and so Everlane just makes that simple. It's effortless, and it lasts. And the best part is it's all made from certified organic cotton at the world's cleanest denim factories with zero landfill waste. Well, that just makes me feel good. Perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself, from alpaca to merino wool to terry knit and 100% recycled cashmere. Everlane has it all. Go to everlane.com/VIAL and sign up for 10% off your first order plus free shipping, and get easy returns within 60 days of your ship date. That's 10% off your first order when you go to everlane.com/VIAL and sign up. When you came back, wrap up the actual season,
totally.
Were you a little surprised? Like, I was, as a viewer, I was surprised that you come back, you're like, I love you. Hey, you know that thing you wanted me to say, that thing you wanted me to do? I'm sorry, I'm a little late. Technically not any later than Zach, but hey, I digress. And were you mad that she seemed so pissed off at you? Or did it read differently in person?
It didn't read differently in person.
Okay. Because I was like, why are you yelling at him, Tayshia? Why are you so mad?
It was more intense in person. My hands were shaking, my legs were shaking. But for some reason, I do this thing where I can like reframe every experience to everyone else is mad at me. Like, that's how I like frame the thing. And so I came back into that expecting her to be upset, expecting her to be frustrated. I can understand that she like did this thing where she had removed me from her life, and so there was no more emotional energy put on Ben, and then me coming back, I can imagine that that's incredibly stressful. And I was trying my best to like hold space for her in that conversation, because I can't even imagine what she's going through. But I also was, the way that it ends with the hug at the door and her kissing me, like, that reaffirmed a lot of the things that I was hoping for. And so going into
your hot makeout afterwards. I mean, it was a hot makeout.
It was hot.
Sure.
It was super hot.
Yeah.
It was so super hot.
So our hot makeout.
It moved, I was like,
our hot our hot makeout at the end reinforced all these things that I was hoping to get from that conversation. I was hoping that she would like maybe show some outward expression of affection towards me, or like at least give me a signal that she was into me. And that all happened, but like, she was mad at me, and like, I understand it.
You
for sure.
Okay, well, you're better than I am, Zach.
Well, it definitely wasn't like a hate kiss. Angry kiss.
But here's how it seemed. I mean, obviously you've had some time to process this, but I when you came back at first, I'm like, oh, Ben is going to win, because like, okay, she's mad at him. That seems a little nuts, but okay.
That seems like real life, though.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like, all right, and then I thought to myself, okay, she's mad because Ben's her guy, right? And maybe we didn't get to see anything, but she was mad at Ben for kind of putting her through this. But Ben's the guy she really wants, and now she's put, he's put Tayshia in this tough spot to like, have the fantasy suit with the other guys, but now she's gonna have to break up with them, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like that's where the frustration came. And then we got to see this hot makeout. It's like, oh yeah, see, she's mad, but she really wants the guy. But then I'm gonna pick Zach. So then it's like, actually, hindsight being 2020, I was more like, why was she so mad at him? But whatever. What are you gonna do?
She's doing her best.
Yeah. How was it? You know, obviously when she, you know, ended the relationship, I'm assuming you were shocked, or, you know, I don't know, like sometimes people kind of like, you know, being the runner up with Andy, it was a little different than with Caitlin, but I kind of woke up that morning. Now you woke up, you got broken up on your date, but
yeah,
you kind of, I personally had these feelings of, I it's me. Oh shit, I don't know if it's me. Or like, you know, like a lot of back and forth. And then yeah. When Andy showed up, Andy showed up at my date when I thought I was going to meet Neil Lane. And okay. So Tayshia showed up at your door when you thought you were going to have a date. Like, as soon as Andy showed up, I was like, in my head, I was like, fuck, I knew. Yep. Like, what about you? Were you more confused because it was supposed to be a date, or did you sense it right away when she was about to break up with you? Like, where was your head at when that was happening?
You know, she came to my house, which she never does. That's never happened before. Yeah. She knocks on the door, and I like didn't even think to go answer it. So she knocks again, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I gotta go answer that door. And so I go answer the door, and she's there. And like, I can read her body language in that moment. And she's like, not hugging me. She has like a very serious look on her face. And I'm like, oh, this is not ideal. And so we walk in the house. Well,
what did I do this time? In the house.
Yeah, I was like, well, fuck, we both wore blue. I guess I'll have to change my shirt. she walks in and we sit down on the couch. And again, like me being naive, I'm like so hopeful that there's like good news at the end of this. Like sure. The conversation might be like, it might be okay. Maybe she's having a hard day. And I'm here to listen. And I like just want to see where this goes. And so you actually can see it on the finale last night. There's a moment where I cannot remember what she says in the moment, but you can just see my face and my body language switch. And I do this like big gulp because I cannot remember what she said, but she said something about like, but I need to follow my heart. And I knew in that instance that like, it wasn't with me. And I'm trying my best in that moment. I have the same thing that happened before where my head's like, yeah. Wah, 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 and I like can't hear.
Because she was complimenting you the whole time. And then all of a sudden it was the butt. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And I'm
like, thank you. But like, am I supposed to be mad or sad? Yeah. Or
why are you telling me how awesome I am and what's going on next?
Like, this is a weird thing to do. But I had that knee jerk reaction to like shut it all out. And I am like incredibly proud of myself in that moment. Where I like didn't shut it out. And I got to tell her, I'm like, look, like my feelings don't change. This is so abrupt and so quick. Like my feelings don't change in this moment. I'm still in love with you. But when you love someone, you let them grow, you let them go do that thing that they need to do. And so like, I'm completely sincere in that, like, I'm incredibly happy for her. And like, I don't even remember saying this, but she said, you know, like you'll find happiness or whatever. And I said like some cheesy thing like someday or something. I don't even remember saying that, but like that's the truth. Like she'll find her happiness and like I will also. And I'm so thankful. I'm so glad that she did it there in that way and didn't make me walk down that fire hazard path into the woods to not get a rose at the end. I'm so thankful. She did an incredible job of like taking the time to be sincere and compassionate and give everyone, like even all the other guys that made it to like the final five or six, she gave us like the opportunity to like have a final experience with her. And I appreciate that a great deal.
I'm glad you have all those, you know, feeling towards Tayshia. It's funny how it works out, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Andy broke up with me that way. Then Caitlin, I did the walk and the ring pickup. But on it, quite frankly, like hindsight's always 20/20. Caitlin and I had a lot of talk conversations about how thankful I am that she took it that far, because the way it played out, I had a similar, like watching it back, I remember feeling proud of myself. I also blacked out. I also, when I watched it back, was like, I said that? Wow.
Dude.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Good for me. But it's a weird experience to feel like this person put you in this spot or, you know, like you could have, if you wanted to, you could have been justified to feel some anger and be like, why did you bring me back? Like, why didn't you just say, you know, all these things? You could have justifiably felt anger, and yet you chose to, you know, show the grace and show the soft side of you. And like you said, say these things that when you got to watch back, feel proud of yourself. And that's something you will, yeah, I promise you will take with you and hold on to forever.
Thank you. I think, at least for me, I talk and like, I'm getting like a lot of heat because I said I don't cry. And then I like cry at the end of the show.
Yeah. Did you cry? Is it official? Because it seemed like you wiped something. I wasn't sure if it was sweat. So to be honest,
we won't confirm or deny that there were tears coming out of my eyes. I think I might've had one drop come out of my left eye, but, it's a very hard thing for me. Like I was joking with Chris, like that emotion, that thing doesn't happen to me. And at the end of the experience, I had this overwhelming feeling of what I think crying might be. I had to wipe a little, I had like a little bit of moisture in there.
What's your favorite, have you seen the movie Rudy?
Yeah, dude, I'm from Indiana.
When Rudy runs onto the field at the end of the movie, are you telling me you don't get that like
I'm cheering
swell?
I'm
you don't get
cheering.
That swell of emotion in your neck?
I'm like running, I'm running with him. Like I'm
So am I, but I'm like Rudy.
I will say that like since the experience, and this is not even a joke, I have cried. And I think, I don't know if this like knocks something loose or whatever, but I noticed that music like really brings it out of me. And so,
you're like Chandler from Friends who didn't know how to cry, dude, and then turned on the waterworks. Yeah.
Yeah. But you talk about anger and not that I don't experience that emotion. Of course I get angry, but I can understand, I'm incredibly empathetic and I can understand her experience and I can understand the way she may be feeling. And I know that like, she's just doing the best that she can. And like, in the same way that I get sent home for trying my hardest and like, you know, this is just one massive exercise in empathy. And if I can't just at least sit with her and feel how she's feeling, or at least look at it objectively and be like, look, she's having a tough time. I'm sure I don't want to break up with anybody. And she had to break up with 23 other people. Like,
yeah, no,
I can't even imagine. And so I'm not holding any resentments.
Position. Yeah.
No resentments, no anger, no nothing. Like, do you? And I said it when she broke me the first time, like, I'll be all right. Like, I'll be all right. I say it from a different perspective now. It's not like a weird walled off thing. It's like, I just understand that, like,
you faced other things.
Yeah, like, we're good.
Yeah, well, that's really good. And I'm glad. And like I said, you have that awareness and that empathy to recognize that in the moment. I was able to recognize that after time passed, but I didn't recognize that, you know, in the moment. I said certain things, but when I got in the limo, when Caitlin broke out with me, I was crushed. I was devastated. I you know, different situations since we kind of knew each other before,
totally.
But there was,
totally.
I wasn't able to have that, kind of out of body self-awareness that you demonstrated is so quickly. So that, I'm glad that you were able to do that.
I think a function of me sitting in the room for a week during their fantasy suite week, like, allowed me to get into a different headspace. It allowed me to see, I mean, I sat there for several days and just basically journaled the whole time. And I'm just trying to like figure out, I'm not that introspective. I mean, I guess I am a little bit introspective, but like I spent a lot of time with my own thoughts and my own feelings. And I was trying to figure out how I could be wrong about how I feel about this, or how I might be wrong about what I thought our relationship was. And so you talk about the like ebbs and flows of like being really excited about you possibly getting to spend your life with Caitlin or Andy or whatever. And then like, you're like, oh my God, she's not going to pick me or whatever. And I think maybe she caught me on a, oh my God, she's not going to pick me moment. I don't really recall, but I just remember being incredibly level-headed and like grounded in that moment. And even in like the hours following, like when I get in the limo and whatever, I just was incredibly grounded and I felt just gratitude for the experience. And I still feel that now, you know, which is cool.
That's great. Was there kind of a grieving period for you, or did you feel
totally? Yeah.
Like when you got back to Venice,
you might not believe it, but I try and fill my time with work so I don't have to think about my feelings. I get back to Venice. You know, I'm at La Quinta the whole time. So I'm there until the very end of filming. I come right back and I like start working the next day because I'm like,
How was that? I did the same thing on Andy's season. Terrible idea. Yeah.
Terrible idea. It was the worst idea ever. Yeah. So I coach fitness. I live in Venice, like 800 feet from a gym where I coach. And then we run an operation in West Hollywood also. And so like I'm back and forth across the city. I'm always like doing a thing. I coach 7 days a week. So it's like, I never had a moment to think about it. And then I remember my me time is walking to the beach. It's like a 10 minute walk to the beach. And I remember I walked to the beach one night and I sat down there and it was like sunset and I just had like a 3 hour, I don't know if you call it a cry session, but I just had like a 3 hour, like, oh my God, like that was one hell of an experience. And I had like this grieving thing. And then a couple days later, I like had another less intense, like, oh my God, that was an experience of a lifetime. And I'm like torn up about the fact that I don't get to continue that relationship. But, you know, I have the most incredible support system and the most incredible friend group. And my sister lives locally here. My friend Antonia, who was on the show, she lives three houses down.
Yeah,
like,
what is the relationship there? My friend Julia Lippman is dying to know because she's a big fan of Top Chef.
Yeah.
And I had no idea like that she was on Top Chef. And everyone was like, okay, is this a friend? How do we know her?
Yeah, so I left the Army in 2018. I took a job doing digital marketing in Los Angeles and I really didn't like it. I didn't like the fact that I didn't get to impact anybody. And so I left that job and there was this interim period early 2019. I wasn't in a great headspace. I didn't have a job. I didn't really have any income. I didn't have any impact on anybody. And so I started personal training. I'd been coaching, like freelance coaching for a while. And so Antonia's daughter was my first ever client.
Oh yeah.
March of 2019. And then I started coaching Antonia shortly thereafter. And so we've had this relationship for now 2 years. And it's become like, she is joking. She's like, oh my God, they think I'm your mom. She's like 10 years older than me. She's not my mom. She's like a brother, a sister,
a best friend. Like your sister's best friend. At first we thought it was like maybe your sister's girlfriend or something. We had no idea.
No.
Like they didn't, so, there was no context. We're like, okay.
Get this. We have, weirdly enough, a large celebrity chef community at our gym, Deuce Gym in Venice. But I had no idea who she was. I didn't know that she was a superstar and a badass in her own field. Yeah. I just thought she was Antonia from the gym. And so we built this relationship around like just trying to get better. I was like her Sherpa on that like health and fitness journey. And we're basically the same person. So we get along better than almost anybody. And so we just had this incredible relationship.
Did you know she was going to be there? Did you ask for her to come with your sister? Like how'd that get set up?
My parents weren't able to come. My father, he's a dentist. He has a practice that was out of operation for a long time with COVID and with like quarantine restrictions and all that stuff. My parents weren't able to come. They're a bit older. It was too much for them. And I totally understand that. It was too much for them, but I was hopeful my sister would be there. I had no idea Antonia was coming. But if I were going to pick one person, it'd be her. I spent yesterday with her. I'm going to go to her house today. Like I just spend every day like at her house. So like, it's not, it would be silly for anyone other than Antonia to be there as my family.
That's great. Yeah. You seemed really happy and,
oh, it was the best.
Was it your sister or her that was like, you love her? You were like,
It was Antonia. And like, I'm incredibly thankful for that conversation. Sometimes it takes somebody that knows you better than you know yourself to like pull things out of you. Like the only thing, you know, I wish that I would have been able to come to that realization on my own. I think me telling her how I feel because like I'm comfortable sharing it is like incredibly beautiful and like it's a cool thing that like I could have been able to express to her. But having Antonia sit there with me and listen to me and have me ask me all the right questions and have me share about my experience, she's like, dude, don't be a fucking tool. Like you're in love with her and like you need, if this is how you feel, you need to tell her that. I know I listened to your podcast with Justin and you're talking about how that the way that I am on the show kind of contradicts how my sister described me, where it's like Ben wears his emotions on his sleeve and he's like this guy, but once you get in, you're like, you're in. And I think that she's had so much more experience with me, and we connect on such a deeper level and such a different level. I think she would have said the same thing. My sister would have said the same thing. You know,
well, yeah, and like we said, Justin and I said, it's just like, as we've reiterated, you know, the show, we all get siloed into personalities totally. Or characters. And I mean, it seemed like Tayshia's love language is words of affirmation, and maybe yours is something else, right? So if
physical
your sister,
touch.
Yeah. So like, that's how you demonstrate your affection and love. And it yeah. made sense why your sister could say that about you. Again, she knows your sister. She knows,
yeah.
you know, how you know, little things, and why someone like Tayshia, who's in a relationship with you, might not be picking up on that early on.
Totally.
Because, you know, she's, you know, as the bachelorette, you're just like, you have to turn it on and off every day with a new person. It's a very difficult position to be in. So,
well,
yeah, it made
as,
a lot of sense
the...
why Tayshia wasn't registering with her, but registering with your sister.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure, I mean, you definitely know, but like the interactions are so fleeting. You know, early on in the experience, like you have these little tiny bits or these little tiny tastes of each person. And so like, I can't even imagine, like, it's hard for me to date one person. I don't know how she dates 20.
That sucks, dude.
Or how you dated 20. Like, I don't know how, I literally don't know how it happens.
It's exhausting. Yeah. It's physically, emotionally, she had to turn it on, turn it off. It's even harder when you really like more than one person. Right.
Totally.
It's an impossible task. I'd be curious talking to Tayshia just because, like, you know, teasing her about being mad at you. She's probably just exhausted and physically emotional and tired. I wouldn't be surprised if she watched it back. She's like, I was a little hard on the guy. But again, she was probably just like, oh, projecting frustration and exhaustion on you.
Yeah. I said it on the show many times, but the reason I fell in love with her is because of the way that she made me feel. It's like a buzzword in LA, but she like held space for me. She created a space for me to be open and vulnerable, and it was safe and it was secure, and she didn't run and she didn't chastise me and she didn't do anything other than just receive me. And for that, I'm grateful and I'm incredibly thankful for the experience. And I like don't know how she did it, and I don't know how you did it, and I don't know how all the other people do it. But yeah, she handled herself with beauty and grace, and she did a fantastic job.
Well, you're a sweetheart. Ben's DMs are open.
They're lighting up.
I probably won't read them. But I might. So like,
it's probably smart. You know. Probably not. you obviously, you know, shared a lot of personal stories in the season about obviously your mental health struggles and suicide.
Yeah.
You know, again, I want to personally thank you as someone who's had people, you know, in my family fight, you know, suicide attempts and struggles with that. And, you know, we've had conversations on this podcast about the importance of awareness and you know, the stigmas around suicide and the shame that kind of come with it, whether it's from religious factors and things like that. And to the point where we don't get to see everything because we're just limited with time, you know, just wanted to give you an opportunity to, you know, if there was any context missed or not delivered in a way that you wanted to present it about your experience and your struggles, as well as maybe just, you know, I know everyone's kind of checking in on you and making sure, and whether you like that or not, or just, you know, the floor is yours to kind of make sure that everything you want to say is said regarding that topic.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Again, thank you for reaching out like during the process of the show. And I appreciate that people have been so receptive. I know it's a heavy topic. I know it's not something that we talk about, especially on national television like this. And to be honest, it was completely unintentional. My intention wasn't to come on TV and like speak about these things. You know, like had Claire been the Bachelorette, I doubt that a connection would have formed such that I would felt compelled to share any of those things. Talking about a former eating disorder, talking about my mental health issues, for lack of a better term. But I was put in a situation, and like, again, this is why I keep talking about how incredibly important this experience was for me. Like, in no other setting would I have ever shared these things. I'd have never felt comfortable, but I'm trying really hard to be a better person. And so I got to a place with Tayshia where I was seriously considering marrying this person. I was seriously considering pursuing a relationship with this person. And I didn't want to enter into anything that might potentially be permanent without her knowing everything about me. And people are gonna be like, oh, but you couldn't tell her that you loved her. And like, no, like I couldn't. But lower hanging fruit, I was able to talk about an experience that was incredibly important to me and impactful to me, having an eating disorder for majority of my 20s. And like, that experience shaped me and shaped how I look at other people and how I care for other people. Thank God I've like passed that part of my life, and I'm in a recovery state, or I'm recovering.
How are you able to identify that struggle? I don't have a lot of knowledge on eating disorders, but a lot of these types of struggles, our friends and family see it before we see it in ourselves.
Totally.
Right.
Totally.
And how were you able to kind of see the light, so to speak, in terms of the struggles that you were facing?
Yeah. So it started off, it started off when I was super young, 15, 16. I was chubby. I was an overweight kid. I realized that girls didn't really like the chubby overweight kid. And so initially it was like some sort of let's lose weight fast so the girls will like me thing. Mm-hmm. But then it quickly turned into like a control mechanism. And it was like, I have control over this thing. I can control what I put in my mouth or not put in my mouth. And then I have even more control if I like purge the stuff that I ate. And it's like, if you don't understand it, you like, it's hard to conceptualize, but like, there's so much control and power. And when you feel like your life is out of control, that's like an easy thing to come back to. So it was, mm-hmm. for me, it was a lot of like stress-induced bulimia. Noticing it with your friends and family is challenging because often it's like just like an addiction. It's often not the most advantageous thing to like engage them. You need to like understand it and have awareness around what they might be experiencing, but you need to like let them come to you. And my only sister, she is the most incredible person at doing that. She can listen and she can understand and she can hold, I hate that I keep saying this, but she can like hold space for you and like create an environment where you feel safe to share your things. And she fucking knew the whole time. She knew the whole time. She just like isn't being like, Ben, you got to stop that. And so what allowed me to transcend that experience was finding a therapist that I jive with on every level. I have the most incredible therapist here in Beverly Hills, and I work with her being introduced into a community that supports me unconditionally, with the gym, with my family here and my friends.
Is her name Darlene?
That's her name is Sarah Baldwin.
My therapist is named Darlene. Ben.
Oh, Sarah.
Fun if we shared the same. Yeah,
that would be wild. But so I'm able to like transcend that experience. I think that the, you know, that conversation with Tayshia was much longer than 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to create context around why, I might have felt that suicide was the best option. I look back and it's a selfish thing for me to do, to try and take myself away from the people that I care deepest about, or probably more importantly, care deepest about me. And I had a lot of things around. I leave a career that I thought I was going to be in forever. I leave a relationship that I thought would end in marriage and last forever. I take a job that I didn't want to do, but I felt that I needed to do it because it was like the best option. I leave that job. And I'm in this position where I'm like, holy shit, I live in a city that I can't afford. I don't have a career that impacts people positively like I used to have. As a soldier, as an army officer, I was impacting soldiers on a daily basis, and it was the thing that fueled me. I didn't like the army for the fighting or for the uniforms or for the awards or for the whatever. I love soldiers. I love impacting young men and women. I love being somebody that they can look up to. And so all of that was gone. I'm in this position where I feel like I can't do anything else. And I feel that like I can't reach out to anybody because I would just be a burden. And the same way with the eating disorder, if you like haven't experienced that thing, then you like might not understand what it would mean to somebody in that situation. But it's insane. It's dark and it's scary. And like, for me, the only option was to like not be around anymore. And looking back, I'm so thankful for the therapy I've received and for the work that I've done on myself. But you look back on that experience and you're like, oh my God, Ben, there's so much help. There was so much help available to me. And so if anything, what I share on the show, I hope that that resonates with somebody. And I hope that they can at least see that there are people who are going through the same thing. And there are people who like, you may never assume, you would never assume that I'm feeling those things. But you better believe I was feeling those things.
Yeah.
And I'm not a quitter. And so I act on those things. And that's like that's a scary place to be. And I just want people to know that like, I see you. I've been in your shoes, and like I hope that you know there are people who are thinking about you, and there are people that are here to help you. And so I'm so grateful for the show to post the National Suicide Hotline. I'm planning to work with a couple veteran focused organizations here in the next coming months. Veteran suicide is a massive issue, and I never thought that I would be a statistic. I never thought that I would be a part of that group. As a soldier, I'm fulfilled. And I'm like, oh my God, I could never do that. I would never be part of the 22 a day. There's 22 veterans a day that commit suicide. And I look back now and I was scared to share, and I was scared to be an advocate in this regard. But now I cherish the responsibility, and I cherish this opportunity to like be a voice for the people who might be scared to speak out. And so again, it was unintentional. But I'm so incredibly thankful that I got to the place with Tayshia where I was able to share that part of me.
Yeah, I can't thank you enough. And, you know, it's a dating show that is, for the most part, meant to be a time where we turn off our brains and we have some fun and watch some cattiness. But once in a while, people like yourself can come on and share some very honest stories that can have a really positive effect on the audience, and you know, all the people, you know, watching and who might have be struggling, or maybe they're not at that point where they're actually, you know whether it's suicide or, you know, considering that, or eating disorders. But
we
live in a time where it's easy to feel alone, you know,
and especially now,
and to look at someone like yourself who, you know, at face value, you look like this great looking, have it together, smart guy. It's just like he's on TV, he's dating this beautiful woman. And to hear your story is, makes people feel less alone and seen. And you know, if you can help one person, it was worth it. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate the platform. I've been trying my hardest to thank everybody that I see that's associated with the program. I'm just thankful to have had the experience. Hopefully I provided some like turn your brain off, enjoy TV time, but it's nice to talk about important things. And I think that the show, specifically this season, and like I said, I hadn't watched seasons past, but I think that the team did an incredible job of making real issues a priority, which is cool.
Before we let you go, Ben, we like to play a game with our guests, and I think it's more appropriate in these contexts because, as you know, most people who go on the show and go far, you know, it's just, even if they, whether they like their edit or not, they're just like, but there's so much more to me, you know, like I'm not just a
sad dude. That's the thing.
And so this game is called Do You Know Me, Ben, right? It's real simple. I'm going to read off some questions. Has Ben done this? Can Ben do that? Has Ben ever done, et cetera, et cetera. Don't answer right away. Chrissy and I are going to guess the answer.
Okay.
And then we'll ask you who's right. If you have an anecdotal story that goes with your answer, feel free to share. If yeah. not, a simple yes or no will suffice. Question number one. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I got a stack here, so I'm just kind of randomly selecting these. Question number one. We're starting out of the gates hot, Ben. Is Ben in the Mile High Club? And if you're not sure what we're talking about, Ben, have you ever had sex on an airplane?
1 mile off the ground.
We will allow, if you've landed on any of the bases while in the air, we will take that as a yes. So I'm
well, even like kissing? Come on. Not kissing base.
Not kissing. Second, third, or home base. You had to be touching some privates a little bit. And even if it was over the covers.
Right.
I'm going to say he hasn't. I don't know. Military guy, rule follower. By the way, Ben, I just want to say West Point, that's a flex. We didn't shed enough light, but like it's not easy to get into West Point. That's like an Ivy League school.
Yeah, the only reason that came up is Tayshia's sister went to Navy. So I was like doing a whole thing where I was like, yeah, you went to the Inferior Service Academy. But
I spent two nights at West Point camping. They sent us on this like thing to like when we were younger, you had to like go there and spend two nights. It was like a weekend away. Yeah. That was not cute. The bathrooms alone were like not. I took a shower from a bag in a tree. So I don't know That's like nice. What it was like on a regular basis. But
still a great education.
Kudos.
Yeah, I mean, we made it through, so we're I'm all right.
Crazy.
All right. I'm gonna say no, Chrissy.
I'm gonna say no too. He's probably like too respectful for that.
Also, no judgment.
Not like me.
You want me to answer?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
The answer is no. I haven't.
Yeah.
I have kissed somebody on a plane.
Oh, okay, good for you. What is the craziest place you've had sex?
I don't think I'm into like public sex, but like on the beach is like a weird, like a private beach.
Okay, great.
That's like the weirdest thing. Yeah, but like you got to be careful. There's a lot of there's a lot of care and attention that has to go into that.
Yeah. And you know what? Totally fine. You're not into having people watch you have sex. Great.
No.
Question number two. Has Ben flossed in the last 24 hours?
Absolutely. Yes. His dad's a dentist.
Yeah. Look at those teeth. My brother's a dentist. He's like, yeah, sometimes I floss.
You have an answer?
Yeah.
I flossed twice in the last 24 hours.
Twice?
My God.
Question number three. Has Ben hooked up with someone older than 40? How old are you, Ben?
I'm 30 years old.
Yeah, has Ben hooked up with someone older than 40? And by hooked up, I'm going to say even like a sexy makeout.
It's a tough one. He's a trainer. He meets older women. Yeah. Hills, maybe.
I want to say yes. I'm going to stick with yes, but I'm not sold.
Again, that whole like dirty dancing, teaching the dancers like with the money vibe. I don't know. I'm gonna say no, but I would love that journey for you.
You good? Am I ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
No. I don't think I've ever hooked up with an older woman ever.
Ever? Like ever. Older than you?
No.
Wow.
Like maybe like I didn't know she was a year older than me, like type of thing, but. Sure.
Give it a shot, man. It's an experience.
Wow. We're learning so much about me right now. Yeah, I didn't even realize that until right now. I don't think I've ever been with an older woman. Cue the older women.
Yeah. All right. DMs are a-sliding. Does Ben prefer almond milk over regular milk? What is Ben's favorite kind of milk? I'm a traditionalist. I know it's not the healthiest. If I'm going to drink milk, I'm just going to fucking drink
Wisconsin,
milk.
Wisconsin would be in an uproar if you said anything other than what you said.
I try not to drink a lot of dairy, but like, fuck it. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I am not lactose intolerant. But I don't think Ben I think you drink anything but regular milk.
I would agree. He looks like an oat milk guy.
Yeah.
He's got like oat milk written all over him.
God, I don't know if that's like the worst thing you've ever said or the best.
I'm kidding.
So I prefer animal milk. I prefer cow milk, but I have a lactose intolerant thing that makes me sick. So I drink almond milk almost exclusively.
I just drink lactaid.
Do you really? It makes, yeah, but like it's, I don't know. It's like diet milk. I don't.
Diet
weird. Like just tastes just a little bit off. I'm not into it.
Okay, we got a couple are you smarter than a fifth grader questions coming up here, Ben.
Jesus.
Can Ben name all the oceans? I'm going to say yes.
There's seven of them.
Or are there seven?
Well, that's more than I knew, so I'm going to go with yes.
Are there seven? Are there seven continents? I don't know if there's seven oceans. Fuck. Wow, now I'm questioning myself. All right, I'm going to say yes. We'll figure it out together, but.
I'm going to say yes, too.
Go ahead, Ben. List them out.
Atlantic, Pacific, Indian.
I think there's only four.
Is there four?
Yeah, the seven continents.
There's one. There's something. There's at least one more that I can't remember.
And
but I didn't get it. I didn't get it.
Antarctic.
It's the Arctic Ocean.
So yeah, Pacific, Indian, Atlantic, and
Arctic.
Antarctic. I feel like there's a lot of seas, but I think those are the only oceans.
Yeah.
Right?
So I guess the answer is no. I can't do it.
Okay. Well, you weren't in the Navy, so
I wasn't.
Fine.
Yeah.
Well, the list on Google is very extensive.
Wait, of oceans or seas?
Yes.
What
of
are
ocean?
They? What?
There's also Southern Ocean. What's the Southern Ocean?
I didn't learn that in school.
Pacific, Indian, Atlantic,
Wait,
Arctic.
The most insane
Southern.
Part about that card is that it didn't tell you what the oceans are.
No, well, that's,
yeah,
they just assume
the
you have Google. They just assume you have Google. Has Ben ever bought a pregnancy test for a girlfriend because you guys were scurred? Yes.
No.
No?
I'm gonna say no.
And again, I mean, for me, like shit, I've done it a bunch of times, and usually it's for like we'd have no reason to be scared. We were just scared. So we're like, let's. I was supposed to get my period in a week. We should get a pregnancy test. You know, I'm gonna say yes. I feel like every guy's been neurotic enough to like be like, let's just get it out of the way.
Yes. I've purchased several pregnancies.
Does Ben know the Pythagorean theorem? I'm going to say, by the look on your face, no.
Yeah, I agree.
A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
Yes.
Shut the front door out of nowhere.
You didn't know that? Do you know the quadratic equation?
Dude, no.
It's a harder one.
I'm an English guy. The fact that I pulled that out of my ass is pretty
impressive.
I'm pretty proud of
what
myself.
It is, Ben. That was impressive.
The sun's rising like right in my eyes.
Yeah.
And final question. Has Ben slept naked in the past week? Well,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, when does Ben not sleep naked?
Ben should be sleeping naked all the time.
if he hasn't, I mean, after watching that art episode.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Ben wears drawers. I'm going to say no. Go ahead, Ben.
I'm going to say he has.
I have slept naked in the last week. I did wear clothes last night, though.
See? So I'm just going to go with the feeling.
I like a hood. So this is weird. I like a hoodie. I like to wear a hoodie when I sleep and like wear the thing over my head.
And but so with sometimes no pants? Sometimes.
Yeah.
It's called shirt cocking, I think is what it's called.
That's super weird. I also find that to be there. Nothing shows the differences between a man and a woman than how good a woman looks with just a t-shirt on or a hoodie and nothing else versus how bad a man looks with
you've
just
never
a t-shirt
seen
on.
Me you've like, never seen me in just a t-shirt.
Do you think I would find it hot? I would accept the possibility you can turn me, Ben. But
you said it was moving during that kiss with Tayshia. You might be moving.
Yeah, well, it was just a hot. It was a hot scene,
you
man. You know, I can't deny the hotness of that moment. Ben, I can't thank you enough. I really appreciate it. Thanks for being
thank
so
you.
Honest and vulnerable on the show and having this conversation with us. We're so happy that you feel. Overall really positive about your experience.
Thank you.
And as a member of the Runner Up Club, I just want to say welcome and I'm serious. I would really love for you to give me, I'm looking for some workouts. I do the same thing over and over and I need to step up my
Dude.
Game. I'm I've been plateauing on this, like, not out of shape, but not really in shape body for the past 6 months. And I could really use your help. So hopefully we can do that stuff sooner than later.
We interviewed somebody who you train and they were like, he's amazing.
Allie Webb.
Yeah.
He's the bomb. Yeah. She came up to me and she goes, do you know this guy named Nick? And I was like, and like with no context. And I was like, I know a Nick. And she goes, he has a podcast, Nick. And I was like, oh, Nick Vial. Yeah, I know who that is. Yes. And she was like, yeah, I went on there. And I was like, oh, okay. And so we like talked about it. And she goes, he was really nice. I told him you were really nice. And then like that was the extent of it.
I was like, damn, what did she say about me?
No, she said you were great. She had a great time.
Well, look, just a tease, Allie Webb, Shark Tank guest.
In the new year, yeah.
Serial entrepreneur.
She's a superstar.
We have a fun conversation with her coming up shortly. Thanks for plugging that, Ben. make sure to check out Ben's journey on Instagram. Wish Ben all the luck. Ladies, he probably won't be checking his DMs, but...
But maybe.
Ben, I mean, listen, don't tease the audience. I don't... But have a bunch of fun. Enjoy this, Ben. Enjoy
Thank
the ride. All the best to you, and I'm sure we will talk soon. As always, guys, I do appreciate you listening. Be sure to, if you haven't yet, go check out our Ask Nick episode that came out Monday. If you love listening to people tell their dating stories and hearing some, you know, great advice, you know, check out our Ask Nick episodes. Cassie David and I break down the finale the last two episodes of the season that just dropped a few hours ago. Check that out as well. Subscribe, rate us 5 stars. You know the drill. Can't thank you enough for listening. We will see you next week, and we interview our boy, Brendan.
We love Brendan.
I owe Brendan an apology. I've been calling him Brandon or Brandon. For me, it's like if I don't think of, I know it's Valentine's Day, but if I don't enunciate it just sounds like Valentine's. See, I was saying Valentine's there, but I didn't think about it. So that's how that's my excuse for Brandon.
He's the sweetest boy.
He is. So we will have Brandon on next week. Look out for that. Merry Christmas to you all. What did I say, Brandon? Brandon.
You did. Brandon. You said it wrong.
It's Valentine's. It's not. I know his name. I don't.
You said I know I'm saying it wrong and proceeded to say it 3 times wrong.
What? It's Brandon. It's Brandon. Right? Brandon.
Brandon.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Whatever.
We'll get to it. And on that note,
Merry Christmas, guys. Happy holidays.
On that note,
we will see you on